need. We need to experience heaven on earth. We need to experience the touch, the healing touch of God, the soothing touch of God, you know, the grace of God sometimes we need. And so it depends on what week you're living in and what you're going through, but how many knows we need the touch of God? We need God's hand upon us. And so I want to kind of get our minds on focused on that. We're going to go back to the series, But God. But I want to go today in Luke the 8th chapter and verse 40. So we're not going to go back to Joseph again today. Remember, just take this home from Joseph. Joseph had bad circumstances, bad situations, and he learned and he did what he could where he was, and God honored that. So it's not about your circumstances. It's not where you are. You know, we can't blame where we are on not growing and not being blessed. Wherever you are, Joseph was in the pit. He was sold as a slave. He was libeled and sent to prison. And all the time, God was working and he was moving and he was the doer of it. Remember, that was the key. He was the doer of whatever needed to be done. And God blessed him in his bad circumstances. Amen. Before we get started, too, it's nice to have Lucy's mother with us today. Glad to be here today. Yes. She's come. You know, she's going to have a grandchild, and so she's here today and going to be here for a while. And so, welcome to the United States. It's nice to have you today. And who else was I seeing? Hadn't been here in a while. Did they leave already? Oh, Robert. He slipped in on us today, and it's good to have Robert home from Iraq today visiting with us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Everybody got your Bible and you ready to learn something today? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, if you want to go, if you got your passport, we're going to go to Dominican and we're going to go to Guatemala this year. The Jamaican trip's already booked, but can they go with you if they want to? Yeah, you can go to Jamaica. I don't know if you'd call that a mission trip or not. I call that vacation. No, but they're going to do some great work in Jamaica. So there's three trips that you, if you want to get on board and you want to go where God says you can go with one of us, can't you? Have a good time in the Lord. In Luke the 8th chapter, we find a lady, and we call her the lady with the issue of blood. She'd been hemorrhaging for years, and she could not, she'd spent all of her money, all of her resources, and couldn't find relief. And so we're going to study about her today and see what we can learn from her. In Luke 8, 38 and 40. Says, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood was stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around and he said, "There's multitudes here, and you're asking, 'Who touched you?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." How many knows Jesus has power that's accessible to you and me through faith for what we need? Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, what I want you to know about this lady was she had tried everything but God. How many says, that's kind of the way we are a lot of the times. If we have a problem, we think, well, I want to fix it because I'm the fix-it person. You know, sometimes you moms think you can fix everything. Well, you can't. There's some things you just can't fix. We got to keep Addie yesterday, our little granddaughter, and me and the boys painted the fence and things. And so Jana was inside the house with a mess in there with our remodel and stuff and getting it ready to put on the market. And so she was having to try to clean with Addison. Yeah, some of you that had little ones, you know what that's like. And then Addison gave her 3 presents yesterday, all on the same day. You can clean up those kind of messes, but there's some things you just can't fix. Some things you just can't fix. And so the things you can't, how many knows he can? With God, all things are possible. And so she had tried everything but God. And that's the way we do. Sometimes we think, you know, we'll try to fix it, we'll try to soothe it over, we'll try to, you know, but sometimes we can't fix it. And so we need to try God first instead of exhausting all of our resources and our energies and things. And how many knows we should live in that flow of that presence of God so we can be tapped into the source and not being running around like she was, spending everything she had. What if she had went to God first? That's a lesson we learned from her. Well, we don't want to be like that. Maybe she didn't know about Jesus at the time. I'm not sure. But evidently she knows about him now. And let me give you something just in case I forget, because I wanted to preach this a little later, but it's so important. This little lady went in desperation. And sometimes you and I wait till it gets desperate and then we start to turn to God. You know what the devil says to us? Oh yeah, now that you really have a need and you're desperate, you turn to God. Well, let me tell you something. She taught us that even if you're desperate, you can turn to God because he still loves you and he'll still heal you and still minister your needs. So even if we wait till we're desperate, that's okay. How many knows that's unconditional love? That's unconditional love. And so even if you're desperate, and even if you've tried everything but God, God says still, come on, I've got your need right here. You know, don't listen to the devil. The devil's always trying to push us away, and God's always trying to bring us in, isn't he? To the fold, and always trying to press in. So if you have something that's condemning, how many knows that's not from God? Now, God will convict you, but that conviction will have, but there'll be a desire inside of your heart to draw closer to the cross, not farther away. You won't want to stay home. You'll want to come. You'll want to read your word. You'll want to get in. You'll want to press in. That's conviction. Condemnation says, well, God don't care, and you just put off everything, and so he's not going to minister to you, and you're just going to God now because you got this crisis situation. Take your crisis and go to God. He loves you. I got to thinking about this little lady, and I was meditating on her going down the road one day, and in my little car that we drive, there's a light, and it came on the other day on the dashboard, and it said, maintenance required. How many got those on your dashboard? How many of you ever drove it until that come on, you know? And sometimes, it depends on what it is. Usually, if it says needs service or maintenance required, how many knows that that's just a routine thing? Because the little car, it's starting good, it's running good, it's dying good. Remember when the old cars that didn't want to die when they were sick? Some of you older people like me, you remember those cars. It's like if you had a pistol, you'd just shoot it, you know. But that's the way we are. And I thought, I got to think about those old cars. I thought, maybe they thought if I die, I'll never start again, you know. So they're just trying to hang on and suck out the last bit of gas. But used to, that was a big deal. Anymore, it's not with these newer cars. They've done something different, and I don't know what makes it different, but I haven't had one do that in a long time. But the service light or maintenance required light came on, and I got to thinking, well, it runs good. So why is the light on? And then I got to remembering that, you know, after so many miles, how many knows there's maintenance required to keep the car running properly for the life expectancy of the car? How many knows that God has put a little gauge in us, and once in a while it says it reads maintenance required. In fact, I thought about this the other day. I got so tickled driving down the road thinking about this, and I thought, you know, God should have put a little light right here on our forehead. And when we need maintenance, it just starts glowing, and everybody says, oh, did you know your maintenance required light's on? Wouldn't that be cool if it had just put that on there? Because we want to get, we're in denial, aren't we, about needing maintenance, about needing the help and the touch of the Holy Spirit. And so wouldn't it have been cool if God would just put a little light that just glows, you know, you're walking around. Wouldn't it be all a bunch of little glow heads is what we'd be, isn't it? Because we live in denial so much. But when it came on, how many know if he had a place, and how many knows he does have a place, like the car, that when that comes on, you're supposed to take it to a Honda dealer. And a Honda dealer will plug it into a computer that had, that would diagnose what the problem is, right? They're supposed to anyway. I've been to the mechanic sometime, and we put it on there, Mr. Eldred, and it said this, and we think it's fixed. You get out on the road, and it does the same thing. And then then your gauge goes off because you spent all that money and it's still broke, and now you got. And so, but anyway, wouldn't it be cool if we just had a little light that would come on, and we couldn't stand denial. And did you notice some cars have gauges? If you got usually a more expensive car, they've got gauges that'll tell you about your oil pressure if it's right. They'll tell you about your temperature if it's right. They'll tell you about your battery if it's right. If you know, some of the cars I've had, and then some of the cars I've had, they just have a light that comes on. And how many knows if that light comes on the cheaper made cars, that means you need to pull over.
Now.
My wife had a rodeo twice, and the rodeo, her light came on. And I checked her oil both times, and there was no oil on the stick. That car's for sale if anybody wants to buy it. No, it's not. Just kidding. But the light came on, and it's usually if that light comes on, that means you're in trouble. Let me tell you something about you and me. God has put gauges inside of us. Now, we're talking about physical needs today, because here's what happened. You know, with Joseph, it was family, it was relational needs. It was that we always had him in an uproar, you know, that he could have had bitterness over. But God has put gauges inside of us that says there's something that's wrong inside of you. And we just don't. I had a nurse tell me one time. She said, "Oh, Pastor, high blood pressure is they call it the silent killer." I said, "Let me tell you something. I used to have high blood pressure before I started exercising and watching some of the intake that the doctor told me I could watch." And ate my mind. He put me on medication, but for a short while, and then I started exercising and doing, and so now I don't have to take it anymore. But my body was talking to me. Listen, I don't believe high blood pressure is a silent killer. I think ignorance is a silent killer. Because we ignore the gauges. When the gauges are wrong, and I could tell my head was just kind of flushed. I could tell my body was speaking to me, you know, the gauge wasn't where it needed to be. It was off. It was off. And then some of you guys, let me tell you, every year you ought to go, especially when you're 50 or over, you ought to go every year for physical, for checkup. I go every year. Just got mine done the other day. In fact, my doctor was in there and he said, "Jack, did you get your scope done?" He told me last year, "You know, you're over 50 now, you need to get your scope done." I said, "Oh yeah, have you got your scope done?" He said, "Not yet." So we're talking, and we always have a good visit, and he's made a move, bought him a new house and this and that, and I'm talking about my house and stuff. And so, and he says, "So you get your scope done?" I said, "No, did you?" He said, "Not yet." I said, "I'm just waiting on my doctor. Just waiting on my doctor." Big old cowards, you know. But you know what? At least I go get my blood work done, my blood pressure and all that stuff checked. You know, go and get it checked. Because God set us up the same way. Once we got so many miles, and how many knows, I'm probably not midlife. I'm probably not going to live to be 104. So I'm probably not midlife. I'm probably past midlife. But so many miles on this body, and how many knows that there should be a light going off to say, you know, there's maintenance required. Some of us, I get tickled talking to us older guys when we try to do what we did when we was 20 and 25, and we can't do it. And we just, you know, we pay for it. I learned about 20 years ago, or maybe not quite that long ago, but I learned several years ago when there's something heavy and there's, you know, needs to be picked up, I look at it and say, "Boy, I bet that's heavy." Wish I had a young guy here that was young and stupid could pick that up. Because young guys, you know, y'all want to show off. I mean, if there's something heavy, you say, I can pick that up. You just grunt and strain. Because that's what I used to do when I was young. And then I got a wife, and I thought, I don't have to show off no more. I'm just gonna, somebody else going to pick that up. That's okay, you know, just pick it up and show how strong you are. That's okay. But you know, when you get older and you can't, Dennis drinks energy drinks. And I said, that just be careful because your body, when it's talking to you, it don't need energy drink, it needs rest. Yeah. And, well, we all do that. We take energy this, energy that, and it's okay to take energy to supplement, but there's nothing that will suffice for rest. God, you know, even Jesus would take his disciples aside and go into the garden and rest, wouldn't he? Take a little R&R. And that's sometimes we need to remember, you need to rest. Sometimes God wired you up so you can have fun. You need to have fun. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so you need to have fun. The Fergusons are going to Cancun, or is it Cancun? And going down, laying on the beach and having fun and getting a little R&R. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You know, take time to have fun. Whatever's fun to you. Now, the beach may not be fun to you. It may be fun just to go hiking or whatever. But what is fun to you? And every once in a while, that kind of maintenance is required to keep you. This is talking about preventive medicine now, to keep you from getting sick. Because if you run and run and run. Year before last, Adam and I were up at the Leadership Summit. And there's a pastor in there from Hawaii with this 10,000-12,000 member church. And he had run out of adrenaline, and his doctor told him, you're going to have to take about 6 months off because your body only produces so much adrenaline, and you have used yours up. And he said, there's no way I can. But his body was shut down. He would cry and not know why, and he couldn't meditate and think, and he had just spent himself for this big church. And so he wound up in a monastery just getting away from the crowds and going and spending time there. And he said after about 4 or 5 days, he'd sneak out and he'd call home and go get him a cup of coffee because they didn't have coffee, you know, and doing the things. But he had to shut down because his body, his light was on. How many knows the light was flashing? And if he hadn't got some help and stopped and said, you know what, there's maintenance required here. It's not about all just pouring out. Jesus had to come aside from the multitude and go up and find the mountain and pray and get along with God. And at times, that's what we have to do. How many knows God has a computer that we can hook up to? But we got to go to the shop. We got to go where the power is and get in the presence of God and get hooked up to the power. I thought about, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we had a literal plug and we could just plug in? Because we need tangible stuff, you know. But I'm telling you, going and sitting in the presence of God is just like going to the car dealer and getting the computer hooked in. Because this is our manufacturer. He put us together. He made us. He created us. And He knows how to fix you. He knows how to fix me. I thought, wouldn't it be easy, though, if we could just go to the shop and I pull into the shop, the Christian shop, you know, with the Holy Spirit, and they plug the Holy Spirit right in, and the Holy Spirit computer says, oh, Mr. Eldred, the problem is you've got hurt feelings you've been carrying around, and it's knocked out your unconditional love unit. Well, how much is that going to cost? Well, it's going to cost you $600 to get it fixed. $600? Oh, yeah. You don't just run smooth without it costing you. I mean, does it cost Jesus the cross? It cost Him His life for you and me. But now we can just go plug into His power. And so, it's going to cost that. Well, how much is that unconditional love unit? Well, the unconditional love unit is about $250. Well, what else is wrong? Well, that's knocked out your humilifier. We're going to have to replace your humilifier. Because you've let pride come in, and pride has just knocked out your humilifier. Wouldn't that be cool if we could do that? It's going to cost you, though, another $250. Well, that's only $500, so where's the other $100? Well, we're going to have to put you in a new letting go unit. Because your letting go mechanism is not working. When you get stuff, you just harbor it. And so that's another 100. How many know some of you need a letting go mechanism? Because when you don't let go, it harms you physically, mentally, and emotionally. And you can't get it at the car dealership. You can only get it in the presence of God. That's where you get that. That's where you get in the presence of God and nothing's changed, but everything changes. You come out with unconditional love and you come out praying for your enemies and you come out loving everybody because you're in love with God and love what you're in love with His Word, and His Word says love your enemies and forgive them and pray over them and bless them, and you come out changed because you've been hooked up to the power source. Now let me tell you what happens if we don't go in and sit at the feet of Jesus and get plugged in. Here's the alternative. The gauge starts running because something inside is not right and we're harboring something. And all of a sudden, what happens is things begin to happen to our body, and our body begins to produce stuff when we carry stress. And after we carry stress for so long, it can cause all kinds of physical ailments. And so if you want to carry it around, you can. Or if you want to get rid of it through the power and blood of Jesus Christ, you can. Now here's what I know. We can come together in a church setting or a concert or wherever it is, and we can sing about Jesus. This is what the crowd teaches us. They were shoulder to shoulder with Jesus. They were in breathing distance, some of them were, of Jesus. They, in fact, Peter said, "Lord, who touched you?" He said, "Man, there's people just, you know, about to crush you. And you ask, who touched me?" So you can be like this close to Jesus, and you can talk about Him and know about Him and read about Him and sing about Him and pray to Him and not get a thing. How many knows out of the crowd, two of them got their need met? You can come sit in the church every Sunday and not get a thing. In fact, here's a good lesson we learned from the crowd. Don't look at the crowd, because you can't gauge what God's doing through looking at the crowd. Philip told me the other night, he said, you know, he loves Benny Hinn and his ministry and watching people get... He said, "Pastor, there's this guy, wherever Benny and him were, and this guy got up out of a wheelchair." I said, "You know, if that excites you, why don't you just do that?" I mean, those Philip's serving the same God as Benny Hinn.
That's right.
See, God put something inside of you that excites you that may not excite me. And I think that's exciting to see somebody get up out of a chair. But when I see them get up out of a chair, I wonder how much they know about Jesus. I wonder if they're discipled or not. I wonder what their gifts are. Whether they're in a chair or out of a chair. That's what excites me. I wonder what their part is. I wonder if they know what their niche is and what their calling and their gifts are. That's what excites me when I see somebody transformed by the power of God that plugs into the kingdom, regardless of your physical condition. I mean, that's what excites me. But I said, now, if wheelchairs and things, and some of you, that's what excites you, is when God heals miraculously through the power. And it's not that I don't get excited. It's just a part of the kingdom work, I believe. But you should get excited about your part. It's like the singers get excited about singing. Oh, a new song. Oh, I've had a song on my heart all week. Can we sing this one? And so she's real bossy, so we sang that one. No, that's what was on her heart. A song was on her heart. That's what should be on the singer's heart, is a song. Shouldn't it? I'm a preacher teacher. I like the Word. I like to get in the Word, study the Word, and give you some nuggets. And that's what's on my heart. What's on your heart? What's God put in your heart? That's what excites me. And so I said, if that excites you, why don't you just do some fasting and praying, and when people come in that have needs, just believe. And if God speaks the Word to you, just be available. How many knows that's all it's about? It's not pressing your way in when you're doing something for Jesus. How many knows when you come into a setting and Jesus speaks to you, you don't have to press your way in and be the... In fact, here's a lesson we learned from Jesus in this story. His focus wasn't even on her, was it? Have you ever said this? You ever said, "Well, I just don't feel like Jesus is paying attention to me." You know, she could have said that, couldn't she? She's sick. 12 years she's been hemorrhaging. She could have gotten a pity party. Here's a learning from the woman. Hope, she never lost hope, did she? 12 years, she spent everything. What makes her think she can get something today? She spent everything, she's tried everything, she knows. What makes her think she could get something today? Here's what it is. She never lost hope. Do you have hope? Do you have hope where you are? If you don't have hope, you're done. She had hope. And so, here's why, you know, some people say, well, I've just given up hope. You know why people give up hope? It's because hope will cost you. If she had no hope, she could have been home on the couch dying and given up, couldn't she? Hope won't let you lay there and die. Hope says, you get up off the couch and you get down to Jesus.
Right.
Hope says, when the doctor says, it's over for you, buddy, hope says, oh yeah, well, you're not the final authority. My sister that was dying a few years ago, remember we had prayer for her? The doctor said, you got 6 months to live, and some of you ladies and guys started praying over her, and they said, well, there's nothing we can do. You've got two tumors in your abdomen. They're inoperable. And my sister, older sister, that's very headstrong, she's a leader. She told her one time, because she don't go to church and all that. I said, man, you're talking about gifts. She said, well, I don't know what my gifts are. I said, you got to be kidding me. She said, no, I don't have a clue what my gifts are. I said, well, your gifts are leadership. Well, I don't know how you get that. I said, tell me where you've worked. She started naming off where she worked. I said, did you lead there in all those positions? Yeah. Well, duh, she's a leader. I mean, you put her, it didn't matter. She worked at a clothing store. She was a manager. She worked at a furniture, where they made furniture. She was a manager. She went to work at DeLisi. She became the manager. You know DeLisi, the concrete people? No, it's Joe Brown. It's Joe Brown at Aiden. In fact, I saw her go out one day out in the yard. I was down at Aiden, and I went by and I visited her, and I went out, and there's three or four guys sitting around. They saw her coming out the door, and man, they jumped up from their chair and act like this, doing stuff. She said, I saw you, just sit down. That's a leader. It's a leader. That's what she did. She just go to the top as a leader. You know. So that's what excites me and all. But hope, whatever, hope just won't let you rest. Hope says, I got a sickly body and there's a big crowd that's thronged around Jesus. How am I going to get to Jesus? Hope says, you'll find a way. When you run out of hope, let me tell you, don't run out of hope, because when you run out of hope, you just lay there and you give up. So my big sister comes by and she gets Jan and she says, and she was sick. I mean, she was sick unto death. And throwing up, and I don't know if you've had cancer real bad, but she was, and my older sister said, get up, we're going for another opinion. And she said, I can't, I'm sick, and I'm throwing up. She said, well, you get the trash can, and come on, we're going for another opinion. that's her, she's a leader, you know. She needed a leader at that time to come by. And so she got her trash can, they got in her car, and they headed to OU Medical Center, and they took her up here and did some tests. The doctors up here said, you know, there's no such thing as inoperable cancer. Said, we'll treat it, we'll shrink it down, and we'll go in and take the rest of it out, give you a few follow-up treatments, and we'll see how that works. And it did, and that's been several years ago. She feels fine. She's been given a second chance at life. She works down at the nursing home, or not works there, but volunteers down there, just ministering to the elderly and all their needs. And she is one of the most happy campers on the planet. But she didn't lose hope. And not only that, sometimes you need to go get your friend and say, come on, I got hope for you, just like my sister did. How many remembers a story in the Bible where the guy was paralyzed and there was a big crowd around Jesus and they couldn't get in the house? Remember what they did? They jumped up on the guy's house and tore a hole in the roof and let their friend down. That's hope, isn't it? Now, if it's your house, you're not so excited about it. But everybody else was excited, you know. I'm just glad it wasn't my house and Jana wasn't there. That had bigger problems than a paralyzed man. You know what I'm saying? How many knows when it comes to people and issues, people is always more important than issues and things. And they knew that. So they ripped the roof off and let the guy down, and he was healed. So sometimes you have to have hope for your friends. Your friends that are laying there and they've given up, and sometimes we just have to help them, you know, and graft your hope on them. And sometimes they'll return the favor and do that for you. But she never gave up hope. She never gave up hope. And so she says, I can get my sickly body and I can carry it right through there. And you notice she didn't say, I need a one-on-one meeting with Jesus. I need a face-to-face, come to Jesus meeting. She didn't say that, did she? Sometimes we think, we have to stop everything and the choir has to sing and you know, the focus has to be on us. But you know what? We don't need none of that. We just need to touch Jesus. You don't need to feel like He's looking at you and you're the center of attention. You just need to know that if I can just touch the hem of His garment by faith, if I can just touch Jesus, I can get my need met. But it has to be different than the crowd's touch, doesn't it? It has to be with a sincere heart and a heartfelt need and a hope inside of you that says, I believe that if I can touch Jesus, it'll be all right. That's faith. It has to be with faith. You can't go whining to Jesus. She didn't go whining. She said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment. Go with faith. Go with the hope of God. That my God's bigger than whatever I'm facing. My God, you know, Kisha's going into surgery. And I want to tell you, God's bigger. Now it's bigger. So what we prayed this morning, God, if you heal her from surgery, that's fine. But if you want to heal her before that, that would be wonderful. Amen. So just keep doing this. I know there's a hem there somewhere. Huh? If I could touch the hem of His garment, wouldn't that be cool for her to come back and say, I didn't have to even go to the doctor. That's God healed. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You ever had a sick heart because you give up on something? I have. It doesn't feel good at all, does it? To say, you know, just give up. You know, I never thought I'd be a famous singer per se. I just hope my music will bless whoever it's intended to bless. But somehow the other day one of our members thought I had made a reference in here that I might give up preaching and just go out and do the music career. No! This is home and this is church and this is where I belong, okay? Music's good and I love writing and singing and all that stuff, but this is it, okay? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. How many know she's fixing to get her tree of life? Let me ask you something. How do you know how far you are from the tree of life? How do you know? Don't give up hope. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes talk about, as long as you're alive, there's hope. There's hope on this side of the grave. And then if you're born again, there's hope on the other side. And in fact, there's a guarantee on the other side. There'll be no sickness and sorrow and tears and all the things that we suffer here in eternity. But hope deferred makes the heart sick. Makes the heart sick. And so here's what the lady teaches us. She teaches us that it's not about how you feel about, is Jesus looking at you? What it is about is, how are you looking at Jesus? Jesus focuses on Jairus and his daughter and his needs, and they're headed. They're not on her. But that's not what's important. How you feel where Jesus' need is toward you is not important. What is important is how your focus is focused on Jesus Christ and touching Him. Now, there are the times when like Paul, he said, I touched him. I saw him three times, but I finally touched him, and here's what I got. I won't remove the thorn, but my grace is sufficient for you. Somebody gave me a little card the other day, or a while back, and it said, God doesn't deliver us from potholes, but He helps us through them. I got that in my book. I just kept it in there. I thought, because sometimes He, just like with Joseph and Paul and different ones, he doesn't deliver you from potholes, but He'll help you chug on through them through the power of Jesus Christ. But either way, you're going to hear from God, and you'll get, He said, so I just glorify God in my infirmities. Because I know He's going to put abundant grace on me whenever I need it. And so either way, you can touch the hem of His garment and find peace and relief and know what His will is for your life. And that's powerful. That's what she taught us. She taught us, don't look at the crowds. It don't matter if they're all pressed around Him and they're not getting anything. This isn't about the crowds. This is about you. And this is about you believing. And this is about God ministering to you. What about you today? What do you need? How do you know that you're not just this close to getting your need met? Do you have hope today? Do you have hope? Then let's reach up with faith. I don't know what your tomorrow holds, but I know who holds your tomorrows. It's Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for hope. We thank You for faith that says in the midst of a terrible situation for 12 years, it wasn't too late for her. She just reminds us, Lord, that it's never too late to touch the hem of Your garment. The man at the gate, beautiful, that lay there for 38 years, his day came. The man by the pool of Bethesda, his day came. The man that was born blind, his day came. So Lord, remind us, for all those that are going through physical infirmities and mental and emotional infirmities, those that are suffering today, not to give up hope. That Jesus Christ is their hope. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and He has the answer. I pray today that we'll believe God's report, not man's report. Now, we'll not shun doctors' advice, and you give them wisdom and counsel and things that they can do. But what we won't do is we won't settle for anything less than the will of the Father. Just like the widow that touched the hem of Your garment, she said, if I can just touch Him. Today, I believe there's somebody here that needs to touch Him. That needs to touch You, Lord. And so today I pray that You'll stir their hope and restore hope and restore their faith to believe and receive. In the name of Jesus. And help them be obedient to the will of God. In the name of Jesus. So today, Lord, we sit in Your presence. Just like You were there in the days a little widow woman was sick, the issue of blood. Today, we sit in Your presence. And I pray, God, that You would just pass by and help those that are struggling right now reach up and touch Your garment. And say, I believe and I receive in Jesus' name. I believe and I receive in Jesus' name. Maybe they need heart surgery today. A broken heart, or maybe it's a physical problem, whatever it may be today. Today, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of hope, I pray that You'll walk by and minister in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for heart transplants today. Hearts filled with unconditional love in place of hearts with unforgiveness or bitterness. Hearts filled with hurt. The hearts filled with joy. Minds that are filled with pressure and confusion today, filled with peace and blessing. and direction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today we give it to you in Jesus' name. Today we reach up and touch the hem of your garment. Until we receive the virtue of Jesus Christ and the healing power of Jesus Christ for our need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, today, as I preach, and if there's gauges that are irregular, lights going off in people in the physical bodies today, I pray in Jesus' name you'll help them to take heed to that warning today. And through prayer and direction, through medical attention, whatever means you choose to use, they'll listen to what their body's telling them today in Jesus' name. To avoid stroke and heart attack and illness and all these things. Today you're speaking to us, and today you've said something to people here, and we ask in Jesus' name that you'll help us to be sensitive to what our bodies are saying to us today and follow up. Follow up on that in Jesus' name. Today's a reminder, your gauge is out of whack. Your light is on. For all of you that have been experiencing something in your body today in Jesus' name, follow up with that. Listen to what your body's saying.